Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the one, the only, the Appleworm Podcast. Thank you so much if you're listening as of right now, because I did take a bit of a break as if, you know, if this was probably one of the biggest podcasts out there, which it will be, of course. I think you would call that the end of the season. You know, I took like a kind of a break between episodes, but we're back. We're back, which is what is important. And boy, are there topics to talk about. I'm going to try and break them out into different and single topics so that way it's more digestible. It's quicker. And if you guys want me to get more in depth into any of these topics, I'll do so. So we'll keep in touch. This is obviously the Joker review. The Joker is a movie. And let's start from the beginning, okay? The Joker is one of my favorite characters. It is, in my opinion, the best villain that there is out there. Period. There is no better villain because of the timeliness of the Joker. The Joker comes from way, way back in history of comic books, and of course, that also includes movies and everything. I mean, the Joker has been fleshed out in a way that many other great villains have not had the chance. So there's a lot to take from, and Todd Phillips really, really does a great job in this movie, especially taking into account, first of all, pause right here, this is a spoiler review. If you have not seen The Joker, please go see The Joker, and then come back and download and listen to the podcast, and rate it 5 stars and everything, but I don't want to spoil this movie for you because I believe that this is a very important movie in terms of the trend that is happening as of right now with movies, that is superhero movies. You know, people think that we are going to get to an inflection point where superhero movies are going to die or are going to start getting tiresome or whatever. And I do not believe that is so. I think if they do not change, if they do not adapt, they will just, that'll happen, you know? I mean, all of these, for example, mocking movies that are, you know, like Scary Movie and such, people got tired because, yes, it was topical, but they didn't change. It was the same gist over and over and over again, and some people see Marvel that way. Specifically in this case, if you haven't looked this up, you should Google it. But Martin Scorsese, one of the biggest directors in history of film, he doesn't appreciate the superhero movie genre very much. He says he respects it and he understands why people seize it and stuff, but he does not share the love of, you know, geeks and really right now popular culture with respect to, you know, Marvel movies and DC movies and just generally superhero movies that are big as of right now. So get back into the movie, and I'm just going to say up top, this movie is going to be nominated for the Oscar. Like, mark my words, this movie is going to be nominated. Will it win? I don't know, but it would be an insult to cinema that this movie wasn't announced for the Oscars. I mean, it is one of the biggest character studies that I've seen in a very long time, and it is really truly great. So that's where we're gonna start. We're gonna start at the point of saying that it is impressive to see that there is a movie about the Joker that does not require Batman. And I mean Batman, because Bruce Wayne and Thomas Wayne and the Wayne family and Gotham and just the entire context of Batman is present and very palpable. But Batman isn't. He's not there. He is not present. He never happens. He's just there, you know, that's what I mean. And I love that if you look up interviews of Joaquin Phoenix, he specifically states that it was brilliant. It was great, it was fantastic, it was fun, it was enjoyable, it was great. to play the Joker. He said, I had so much fun. It's such a fun character to play because this movie comes from Arthur Fleck. And Arthur Fleck, that is a horrible part to play. That is really horrible. But you see, and I love the sound editing in this movie just because of the fact that you can see the Joker being born, being burst out of Arthur Fleck through sound and imagery. The stairs. Every time you see stairs in this movie, it's an important moment. You know, the stairs show, make you tired, or they make you see that you there's so much to climb in the beginning of the movie. They're bleak. And you feel tired when you see stairs and the color palette and everything. And as the Joker is born, stairs lighten up. And the stairs in Arkham Asylum, they're brighter. And the stairs going to his house, the way that he dances down those steps is incredible. I mean, it's liberating. And that is where Joaquin Phoenix is going. He said it was liberating to go from playing Arthur Fleck and losing about, like, I don't know, 30 pounds or 25 pounds of weight to do this movie was probably really, really tiring. And so when you get to the Joker, you probably are like, wow, this is so fun. This guy is free. He has no rules. Society has failed him so much that he cares not about what society defines. He specifically states, you guys, meaning society, decide what is good and what is bad in the same way that you decide what is funny and what is not. And that is subjective. To the Joker, murder and things like that, I understand. Of course, you know, he sees them as fun. We, of course, don't, but that is unexcusable. But maybe something more excusable. Like, for example, the fact that nobody cares if you die. Nobody cares if you take your own life. Nobody cares about the person who walks in front of you. They care about the person who's on the TV, in your phone, on social media, etc., etc., etc. And so what happens is he goes and he criticizes that. He says, I am here. I am on the Murray Show because you want to make fun of me, not because you want to help me. I am here with this makeup telling you, the audience, that I killed these three people. And you are completely flabbergasted as if you knew them just because a influential person said that they were good people. And actually, they weren't. They were not good people. And maybe they weren't worthy of being killed because that is extreme, but they were certainly not worthy of being martyrs, of being put in front and saying, oh, this society is so crazy that people are being killed left and right. These three men showed us the difference between a hero and a villain, not an anti-hero, because the Joker isn't portrayed in this movie as a hero or an anti-hero. He is at all times the villain. The fact that you understand him doesn't make him the hero. It makes him a better villain. And case in point, every single good or great villain in history of movies and books and you name it, think that they are not the villain. They will always abide by what they are doing. Is it environmentally relevant? Is it socially relevant? Is it family relevant? Is it revenge, you know? Is it just justice, maybe? But they have to have a point. Their mind sees them as being the good person. I am doing this for the good of people. And that with the Joker is the fact that when he is being beat up, when he kills the first guy, he defended himself. He has all the right to fight back. Not to kill him, but to fight back. Then he shoots the other guy. Okay? And there is where you're like, oh, you didn't have to shoot this guy. You didn't have to shoot at all. You just shot at the ceiling and they would have gone off your case. So, and here's my point. You have to blur the line between Arthur Fleck and Joker, and they do it brilliantly. Society is heavy, is tiresome, is unfair, is cruel and cold. But that does not give you the right to go after the third guy and fire at him like a crazy person. And immediately after that happens, you see a change. The music goes from society being heavy and dark and bleak and cruel to him standing in a bathroom, scared of what's outside, but dancing about what's born inside. It's creepy, it's scary. I felt like the world around him didn't know what they just built. They got him off his meds. He didn't have anyone to turn to. His mother ends up in the hospital and is crazy and did horrible things to him. So society failed him so many times. He's an adopted kid, so his parents failed him. He got adopted by a mother who just let his adopted father tie him up to a radiator and beat the hell out of him and her and say nothing. And what society does to him does not excuse what he does to them. But in his mind, that's how a villain is born. That is how you get the Joker. That is why this movie is so powerful. Because it takes the superhero genre and tells you, yeah, you know, the superhero, the good guy, the guy who does the good stuff, he makes mistakes. Maybe society has failed him too. Maybe society failed the Batman. And we see the Batman being born in this movie through the same conditions of harm personally than the Joker. Now the Joker takes a decision. He says, you know what? I don't have to play by your rules. Do you know what you get when you take a kid and you throw him into society and fail him again and again and again and again? And you fail. And he turns to Murray and he says, you get what you deserve. So he doesn't even talk about himself, because he knows he's turned himself into a villain. He knows that he now is the Joker. And the music, God, the music is so good. Because by the time he turns into the Joker, and he's so free, and it's almost like society helps him, because the clowns in the subway somewhat don't punch him. He's the one who took the mask off the guy, and yet they punched each other out. He's the guy who killed those three men, and yet these policemen end up killing someone passively in his search and get beat up and sent to the hospital just so he can go to Murray's show and realize that what he wanted to do all along wasn't, he didn't want to kill himself. He didn't want to give him the great pleasure of winning. He called him Joker on live TV on the show of his dreams by the person he most admired, by the father he never had. If you look at the video of Amina, the imagery that he created when he calls him down and says, I would leave all of this to have a son like you. And yet, that same father-like figure, just like society, fails him. And it shows him his decision. I will give society what they deserve. And just as the movie ends and he laughs and he says, oh, I'm thinking about something funny, a joke, but you wouldn't get it. That is how the Batman is born. His parents, his life could be great. He didn't have to go and turn himself into the Batman. He's a millionaire. He's never anything, nothing's going to ever be missing for him. He's not going to be hungry. He doesn't have to work. But Batman decides that what Gotham deserves is a hero. And if you listen to when Thomas Wayne is speaking about the Joker, well, not the Joker, he's talking about the person who did the murders at the subways. He said, what kind of criminal, what kind of coward would hide behind a mask? Batman hides behind the mask because he's trying to protect what he loves the most. Both Gotham and the people around him. Joker wears a mask because he is an idea. He is a dog chasing cars. He is a multiple choice pass that adapts to whatever suits your story the best so that you understand why he is that way. Let us never forget how Heath Ledger and how in general the Joker always, you never know his real backstory. You don't. And the truth is, you never will, because this is an imagination. This, as his girlfriend, is all in his head. And when he becomes a Joker, he is finally free and happy and free of society. And instead, Batman, when he turns into Batman, he goes dark. He becomes alienated in his wealth and in his job of fixing Gotham and the world. And so, just like the Joker turned to Batman and said, I didn't want to kill you. I don't know what I would do without you. Don't pretend to be like them, even if you want to. Because you're not. They both take a decision. One decision. I am going to give Gotham what they deserve. And what they deserve, in the Joker's case, is evil. And you can see evil being born. And you don't know if he killed that girl and her daughter. But you know that he killed those three men. You know that he killed the guy from the clown. And he let go the guy who was good to him. Because he didn't deserve that. In his mind, what he did wasn't even wrong. It was just what he deserved. You gave me that gun. You let me out of the job that I loved. He killed his mother. You lied to me so much. You crazy lady decided that I was Thomas Wayne's son. That he was going to come down from his wealth and help me. And when I meet him, he punches me in the face. He calls my mother crazy. Tells me I'm adopted. You have to understand that he is a villain. And that a villain has choices. And he chose to be Joker. He sits there. And you see how he definitely decided. The movie ends with him in a psych. Well, it's probably Arkham. And he's chosen to be there. When he killed Murray, he didn't run. He stayed there. He looked right at the camera. And he said, and always remember, that's life. Because that was Murray's line. And then when they take him out of the police car, he sits in the police car. Receives the ovation. Puts a smile on his face. With blood. Smiles and waits for the police to take him again. Because he has made a decision. He has left sanity. He is going for chaos. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you guys read up on the blog at oneappleworm.blogspot.com. I'm really, really happy to know that I'm back, that you guys are listening, and I'm also making some entries on tech, of course. I'm never going to leave tech. That's what I started with. Movies are a secondary and a passionate thing of mine. But yeah, basically, that would be it for this week's episode. We're back. We're stronger than ever. Share this with your family, your friends. Don't forget to follow me on social media at RealAppleWorm, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks a lot for your feedback, for your likes, your downloads, your sharing, and we'll keep in touch. Thank you. Peace. You're riding high in April, shot down in May.